Yes. Hello, kitties up there. It's time to trick or treat. Yes, this is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V. I'm also joined by my co-host, Rob D.
Hiya, folks. Happy Halloween.
Yes, yes. This is the Halloween edition of the show. All right, so subject matter here. Well, I want to talk a little bit about my targeting. I want to talk a little bit about the NSA, how they originally targeted myself. And I know my experience is going to ring true with a lot of other targeted individuals out there. Now, for those of you who have been following the show, how we've broken down the NSA Mind Control PSYOP manual, well, yes, all that talk about how they like to control Christians and whatnot, using superstitious beliefs, etc. Well, my story is quite a bit like that, but very unsuccessful on their part. See, when I was first targeted, there was a lot of tricks employed on myself. And I want to give everybody a little warning here. I've given Board Op Mike some clips to play. I'm not exactly sure which ones are going to be played first. So, Mike, if you would take a second to familiarize yourselves with the titles of each of those clips, that would be that would help us out a lot here. Okay. All right, he's got him ready to go. All right, so yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty when you are first targeted. Things start happening around you that seem to be paranormal, even supernatural. I do know, for example, the noises, okay, the noises. When I was first targeted, I lived alone, okay? I had a giant apartment, giant two-bedroom apartment to myself. It was pretty big. I got a sweet deal on the place because my roommates had skipped town on me. Everybody was leaving the apartment complex. It was a very small complex of maybe 8 apartments. Everyone was leaving the complex. Why, you might ask? Well, the neighbor on the other side of the building, he had a father, a parent that lived with him, who stood outside talking to himself nonstop. Just talking. And the son, whom I was hanging out with quite a bit, he was getting voices, would constantly say things like, "I'm being watched. I'm being watched." And his paranoia got so bad to the point where it was just like, I don't know, maybe I should stop hanging out with this dude. This dude is he's off the chain. But then again, I also had a roommate and his girlfriend who also lived with us. She started getting very weird. ended up moving out. Then my roommate would just lay on the couch. We didn't have a TV. No cable service like that. Just had internet for school. That's what I've, had in my room. But the guy would lay on the couch in the living room, talking to himself nonstop. I'd come out into the living room, ask him, "Hey, who are you talking to?" "Oh, nobody. And he was having some very weird behavior. He'd leave the front door open to the apartment to look across the street where there was a gas station and a bar. A bar where you drink at. Every once in a while, he would go out onto the balcony right there and whistle, catcall at some women. It was very strange. But I'm going to tell you, for an entire month, he laid on the couch talking to himself. Until one day, he disappeared. Just grabbed all his clothes, disappeared. Left the furniture, left everything else. Kitchen utensils, plates, dishes, everything. He took his clothes and was gone. I did catch him one more time. He was coming back to pick up some last remaining clothes. I said, "What the hell's going on?" He didn't give me much of an answer. He just went to get the last bag of clothes into this guy's car, and he took off. Next thing I know, I've got another neighbor down the way who was hearing voices. That person moved out. I actually got to the point where things were getting a little weird. I was seeing shadow people, shadow entities. Okay. Very strange. I actually recorded, I had lots of windows around my bedroom. And around one of the windows, there was, how do I put this? When you shine the light on the windows, or you turn the light in the room, the curtains, right around the edge where the curtains are, you see these little fingers come out. Little fingers. And just not, four or five fingers. No, fingers are all around the perimeter of the window. Let me continue. I actually had I had this cool lamp. It was like a cone lamp. Light shone up on the ceiling. Kept falling over. It was kind of weird. One time I just let it sit. And it would land on my bed. I would just let it stay there. And the light in itself, the cone of light would sort of dim a little bit, and you'd see like a little person sitting Indian style in front of the bulb, shadowy, kind of a ordeal. I was not able to record that, but I recorded the window thing. I showed it to one of my neighbors. I said, "Hey, you want to see something really weird?" I put the laptop on the coffee table on the couch. We both sat down and watched it. This guy, I'm going to tell you, this guy was a tough dude. He was actually a Golden Gloves boxer. I think he was related to someone really famous. He was also a rapper, whatnot. Tough dude. That was the last time I seen him. He moved out. Him and his family, they moved out of the apartment complex. Okay. It was very strange. So it was myself, neighbors catacorned to me downstairs, and the neighbors on the very end. So three apartments taken up now out of the eight. Yeah, so that's when I start hearing something through the walls. It sounded like the neighbors were talking to me. Like, what the hell's going on? Started talking, and I can it eventually got to a point where I can hear them anywhere I was in my apartment. Anywhere. It's like, what the hell? What the hell's going on? And it was not just talking, just commands and threats. Go back to Texas. Go back home to your mama. Go back or we'll kill you. We don't want you in this apartment anymore. We don't want you here anymore. So, me being the aggressive person I am, it's like, you know what? You want to come and kill me? I'm right ahead. I'm right here. I got nothing to live for. The love of my life is out with being a slut around town, not coming back. I'm here in the middle of nowhere, pretty much with not very much money, no friends. At some point, I was on the verge of suicide until this stuff happened to me, actually. It was my curiosity that really kept me hanging in there. I want to know what the hell's going on. So, I'm like, come and get me, come and get me. It got to the point where I got my front door open, like, come and get me. You guys don't even have to barge in. Come and get me. Machete in hand, sitting on my couch, looking at my front door. Let's do this. Nothing ever happened. Just more talking, what seemed like coming through the walls. I decided, okay, well, I must be going crazy. I must be schizophrenic or something. Problem with that is, I've studied psychology growing up. I was reading psychology books ever since I could read. But I went back and I did my research. And figured out, yeah, I'm much too old to have developed any schizophrenia. Wait, I'm way too old. I have no history of this in my family. I mean, zero history of this in my family. It's just, there's just nothing. So I tried to experiment with the situation. I noticed I was getting a lot of mail that wasn't mine, so I decided to do something. I grabbed my mail, I grabbed the mail, a stack of mail that wasn't mine. I went to the neighbors, catacorner to me, knocked on the door. I was like, "Hey, is any of this mail yours? Because I'm getting a lot of this." And talked to the guy. Guy's voice is completely different than what I had been hearing. Okay, scratch that off my list. It's not the neighbors. I'm not schizophrenic. So what the hell's going on here? You know, the voices continued. And they were giving me information. Go downstairs. Look to your neighbor's window. Grab the item that's in front of the window. How? Break the window. Grab it. Okay, so I go downstairs. I look in the window. I see this bag filled with herbs and feathers and stuff. I knock on the door again, and I inquired about that item. I told the person that I had been hearing a voice from a male voice, and it kept inquiring about that bag. And that person told me that bag filled with, you know, these natural items in it was something that was something special of a dead offspring, a dead son. And it was at that point, the lady thought I was like psychic or something. I assured her that was not the case. And I just went back to my apartment, and that was it. Next thing I know, I'm getting knocked on the door. I answer the door, it's the police. Oh, the neighbor said you freaked her the hell out. What's going on here? And I told the officer the story that something told me to ask about that item, and I did. And the police officer was like, are you under any stress? I'm like, well, under a little stress. He's like, well, because sometimes people get, you know, these powers when they're under stress. Would you like to go in to get checked out? You know, we'll take you if you feel the need to. It's like, no. I'm all right. I'm fine. And so, I mean, here I have a cop telling me that I'm psychic. So, yeah, I started doing a little bit more investigation into my situation. So I'm seeing shadow people at this point on my walls. I'm seeing shadow people outside doing things. And I'm thinking this is paranormal, like supernatural stuff. Here I have these voices telling me, you know, oh, we're I'm God, and then it's like, oh, I don't know about that. Oh, we're angels. No, I just I can't buy that. We're aliens. What are you doing wasting your time with me? And then it's like, okay, after basically, you've pretty much given up. And they said, oh, you know what? We're the NSA. Listen, we want you to do this, this, and this. Oh. We'll come back from the commercial break with the rest of the story.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
So I ended up reverse interrogating the program, making the AI told me, well, it was actually one of the guys on duty behind the AI clicked in and said, hey, this is the NSA. We want you to do this, 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 this. And I said, no, screw you. Then, boom, came back the AI. So this has been roughly a two-month process, okay? Since I said no to these people, from that point on, I was constantly being hacked, computers being hacked. I could not finish school. I could not finish college because of the hacking. I mean, internet screwed up. My routers, I mean, everything being hacked. Phones being hacked. Even to the point of isolation. Couldn't communicate with anybody. Here I am, stuck on the outside of town. And I'm being pushed through this fake faux pas, you know, paranormal garbage. You know, even my utilities being shut off. Gas, that sort of thing. I know I woke up one morning after a snowstorm on my couch, barely alive. I'm breathing. There's clouds of you know, my breath. You can see my breath. Just clouds of it. I would have been dead if it weren't for my kittens. One slept on my neck, and the other one slept on my chest. And they were purring overtime just to keep me alive. I woke up a few nights like that. Several times. So I want to go over the tech. Because, oh yeah, they'll get you paranoid. Do you ever hear, like, your heater, even though it's off, ping and pang? You hear these creaks and cracks in the buildings? Well, the building I was in was built before World War II. So the settling's been done. Okay. These are things that they do to get you paranoid or thinking that your house is haunted. Let's go with that Heterodyne sound clip, Mike. The laser sound.
As you've probably been told, light and sound are both waves. Light waves can be spread out like a light bulb or focused like a laser. But can you do the same for sound? Surprisingly, the answer is yes. And I'm going to show you how I built this device and how you could build your own. So normally when sound travels, it disperses and spreads out like you'd expect. But this is actually dependent on the frequency. The higher the frequency, the more focused the beam is. I don't know why the math works out this way, but I just accept it. But the big issue is that the frequencies needed to get sound focused are actually in the ultrasound range, so it's beyond the range of human hearing. But there's this really weird physics glitch. Okay, it's not a glitch, but it's a weird property where when the frequency and amplitude are high enough, the air itself becomes a nonlinear medium and is able to demodulate a modulated waveform. Yeah, it doesn't really make sense to me either, but I'll link the Wikipedia article. But anyway, that aside, it means we can encode audible sounds by modulating them with an ultrasound carrier wave. This is actually exactly the same as how FM radio works, only the ultrasound frequencies are in the kilohertz instead of megahertz. And since individual ultrasonic speakers are pretty small and not very loud, I actually have a bunch of them connected in parallel. Designing a circuit for this was pretty straightforward. The audio comes in here with a simple high-pass filter to get rid of DC offset. That signal travels to a standard 555 timer to modulate a 40 kHz square wave. Finally, it's fed into an amplifier to drive the speaker array. It's powered by a 12-volt power supply for the speakers with a 5-volt regulator for the logic parts. So how well does it work? Really well. It's so hard to show in a video, though. You really have to be there to experience it. But I can at least describe what it's like. First thing to notice is that the sound travels pretty straight through the air, but as soon as it hits a surface, it demodulates and becomes audible. So if I point it at a wall, it really sounds like the sound is coming from the wall, not from the speaker. And as I rotate it, it sounds like the sound is crawling along the wall to the ceiling. If I point it at someone's head, they can tell it's coming from the speaker, but to another observer, it sounds like it's coming from that person. Pretty cool. But that means if you're trying to make only one person hear it, it has to be pretty quiet to eliminate reflected sound. Another interesting thing compared to normal speakers is that very small objects can completely block the sound. Just putting a piece of paper in front blocks it completely.
Are these two techniques to use here? A convolution and LSTMs.
Okay, I think we can stop it right there. So, yeah, there are times when, yeah, just random noises throughout the entire apartment. I think we spoke about this the other night when it sounded like someone was running down my hall. I could feel the footsteps on the floor. And I get up, I look around the corner, nobody's there. They have done amazing things with this technology where they combine or heterodyne frequencies to make it seem like sounds coming from somewhere that it's not. And they even do it with light to create shadow people. Okay? That and I figured out is a combination of them actually beaming psychotronic signals into your head that corresponds with the magnetophosphenes that float around in your eyeballs that can create images, hallucinations. They can literally imprint a shadow in the back of your eyeball and make you seem like you're seeing it in real life.
You definitely can provide a scientific explanation for what's occurred to you. You know, it's not just in your head. If you can point at this is a possibility and going on. A lot of spiritual people have what's known as the men in black interaction. And so you would wake up and see the man at the end of the bed or sitting in a chair or a couple of them. And there have been many theories about them being interdimensional beings that target people with spiritual gifts. This is another, you know, part of that an explanation that people put out about it, and that you can banish them actually in a spiritual way. There's things you could do to get rid of them, but what you heard of fingers and stuff coming out the side of a thing is, did you end up moving? Because I'm sitting here, I have a curious thought is, you know, why would this go on at this apartment complex? You know, I could think of uses for it. I've been thinking about that. So let's say I want to have, I've got a person that we want to modify, but, you know, they're in an apartment block. So I have to beam everybody away. You know, get whatever it takes to lose their mind or get voices in their head till they leave. And aiming things at walls is a great thing. You constantly, or a shadow in the back of your eyeball that you, every time you turn your head, it's gone, but you see it. You know it's there. It becomes a very uncomfortable thing. So I could make people leave an apartment complex, and then I could fill that place up with agents who then create like a Truman Show.
You're getting way ahead of me.
This is what I'm thinking. They could use I don't know what you're going to say. So we're both making the same connection then, because you didn't tell me you're thinking along these lines too. You could create a Truman Show around somebody. In other words, I could create an alternative town. Your interactions with everybody will be very staged, and you'll always have somebody there to guide your days. What's that?
Well, let me ask you a question. And I asked this question too, and I didn't find out the reason or the probable cause behind this till maybe about a year later. So the apartment complex I was in was supposed to be uninhabited. Okay. The guy who gave me, after my roommates abandoned me, gave me a sweet deal on this huge apartment, $400 a month. All right, I can pay that and go to school. Yeah, sure. Thanks. But he wasn't necessarily doing me a favor, but lining his own pockets. See, this guy, his name was JR. this apartment complex was supposed to be empty, but yet he has people living there and taking rent off of them. His mother owned the property. He did not. What that has to do with national security or the NSA, I still haven't made that link. Maybe they're trying to cover for the woman who owned the property and trying to get this guy busted and thrown in prison or something. I don't know. But, it's you don't have mass hysteria. That doesn't exist. You don't have – schizophrenia is so rare. You have better chances of winning the lottery 20 times in a row than to find 5 or 6 people to develop schizophrenia in the same apartment complex. So we know it wasn't schizophrenia. For it to be a haunting, I don't believe in it. Still don't believe in it. I found a scientific explanation for everything that happened.
Okay. Amityville Eviction Service. Get out.
Right. And I grew up watching Scooby-Doo.
and the man behind that tippa is George Soros. Pull the mask off the head.
So And that actually, since you've already mentioned it,
it's Halloween. Let's go there. Let's get the scary stuff.
When it comes to the things that we see, okay. Let's play that clip on the 3D mic, if you could.
We may be closer than ever to recreating some of the most iconic tech in sci-fi history.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
We've seen hologram technology move leaps and bounds over the last few years. Maybe you caught Jesse's look at 3D volumetric displays a few weeks ago. Now, researchers from the Interact Lab at the University of Sussex have created three-dimensional holograms you can hear and even feel. They call their device the Acoustic Trap Display. Essentially, it's using sound to manipulate a tiny particle that traces out these images. Here's how it works. The display is made up of an array of small ultrasound speakers that produce sound waves, LED lighting, and a 2-millimeter bead. The sound waves keep the bead suspended in midair, and they can manipulate the bead's position. The bead moves around the display too fast for our eyes to see, so what we see is a 3D image. And remember, this is genuinely a three-dimensional image. It doesn't just appear to have depth. That means it can be viewed from any angle. Now, believe it or not, this tech is actually inspired by old-school TVs. You may not be old enough to remember CRT televisions, but they created images with a single color beam that scanned across the screen so quickly, our brains registered them as a single image. Another point worth noting, Nature reporter Lizzie Gibney saw this acoustic display up close. She said the images don't flicker in real life like they do on video. But here's where it gets really cool. The speakers can also make the beat vibrate to produce different sound waves, which means these images can freaking talk.
3, 2, 1, 0.
Now, I can't be the only one who immediately started thinking about Princess Leia sending a distress call to Obi-Wan when I saw that. If that doesn't blow your mind, we're not done yet. The ultrasound waves can also generate tactile feedback, meaning you could essentially feel the flutter of the butterfly's wings. And it's true, we're still a long way off from the holodecks we all know and love in the Star Trek universe, but there's no other volumetric display that can produce touch the way this one can. And the researchers behind it say the ability to manipulate matter without actually touching it opens up a ton of other opportunities. For example, you could mix chemicals without the risk of human contamination, or even manipulate human tissue to better deliver life-saving drugs. Scientists say a future version of this device could include multiple beads, making for a more detailed image. And this version was built using fairly inexpensive components that really any of us could buy. So don't be surprised if this appears on someone's holiday wish list in a year or two. What would you make into a talking, touchable hologram?
Okay. Now, this is a product you can buy on the shelf. This is out for consumers right now, as far as I know. But we all know that technology that we get, okay, as consumers, the government has had for at least 50 years or more. Now, being able to, being in a house by yourself, and you see something fly off your shelves, you have your pantry, kitchen doors open and close, open and close, open and close. you see a ghost, you take a picture, and there's somebody standing behind you in the picture that wasn't really there. Yeah. These are all NSA Scooby-Doo tricks. Okay? All it takes is the ability to heterodyne either frequencies, sound, or light to get various effects. Now, this is also bolstered up because our air, our atmosphere is plasmacized with all the nano aluminum in the air. creating holograms is not a problem for the secret government.
Yeah, they definitely have the medium in there to do this tech. I'm thinking that as I'm here. Also, like, why? What I could do with that? You could do things like, well, you know, where's Robert? I haven't seen him all day, but I know he clocked in. So you could make somebody come in and go to work for you. He's there. See, look, he's sitting at his desk. You know, where could you? Or you swear it in a president of the United States, you can make it look like Jesus himself has walked up onto the podium and patted him on the back, you know, to add validity to a candidate's ruling over you. Where else could we go with this? The mass hallucinations and hysterias that you could perform with this are fairly unlimited. And yeah, the tech would have made leaps and bounds. So that's definitely a possible explanation for ghosts. The tech exists to do that. I believe in ghosts personally, because of the experience of when my brother died. To have a message from him, he like showed up in my house, and then I heard he had died around that time. So
they do that to mess with people. I'm going to tell you. Listen, people who have had life or death experiences. Now I'm going back to the Christians here. People who have had life and death experiences. When they said they went to hell and then they came back alive, that experience of you going to hell was beamed into your frontal cortex, okay?
I'm going to differ in opinions with you. I do believe we have a spiritual side and that we're not. I know it's possible that this tech can do these things. I'm going to, you know, that to me is undisputable as a fact. But whether every experience we have is that tech being used on us is hard to prove. How's that? Is that you know me? I'm a show me fact person.
Hard to prove. I'm showing nothing but proof.
But you're showing that it can be done, and I agree with you. But whether it is or not, there's plausible deniability.
People say it can create false flag shooters. Are they? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, but is it every?
Let me get to my next point. Let me plow through this, please.
All right.
I'm going through the science here. Let me plow through this. So those people who come back from, again, there's a lot of people controlled by superstitious beliefs. When they come back from experience like a life or death experience, they went to hell and whatnot. Oh, they're going to come back. They're going to be perfect little angels when they come back. So they get set up to be manipulated even further, as we have read in the NSA PSYOP manual. Now, let's go ahead and another thing I need to mention, actually, a lot of people have come up with the theory that the planes that hit the towers, 9/11. Some people have theorized those planes weren't even real. They were holograms. These holograms show up on radar, people. They do.
Yeah, that's a fact as well. This holographic, the 7D and 8D holograms that some of them even use in shopping malls in some of the Asian countries that you see can do amazing things, and you can touch it tactile. You could feel that physical feel because of the vibration and the tech that they use. And the cathode ray tube is a very good comparison of how they could draw something in front of you. And I know through study and weather and radar that they can beam very specifically to a single spot to get data of molecules in a cloud, or so they could heat a specific area. Like they could make the beam go out 1 mile or 10 miles and very, very accurately predict where the focal point of their beams are. So, the possibility is there.
It's all a part of Project Blue Beam. Okay, so for those people who have been abducted by aliens and that stuff, when they were really abducted by the CIA and then implanted, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, boy. It gets deep. So let's play the clip with the laws concerning haunted houses.
Now we're going to have some fun. So say your house is haunted. What are the laws you have to follow when trying to pawn it off on someone else? Well, to answer that question, we've brought in Chris Trudeau, a professor at WMU Cooley Law School. Thank you so much, Chris, for being with us, because this is a topic I think a lot of people would not even have expected that they would have to consider. There really are laws involved with selling a haunted house?
Well, there are some laws, particularly in other states. There's over 20 states that have statutes that have regulated this by statute. Michigan is not one of those.
Yeah, we want to make sure that that's clear first off, right? Michigan doesn't have one of these laws in place.
No, sellers, it's a real gray area here in Michigan about whether you have to disclose this to suspecting buyers or not. So really it boils down to if you think that a house might be haunted or there might be some type of violent crime that happened in the past, if you ask, somebody has to tell you the truth.
Okay.
They can't lie about that.
Right.
But it's up in the air right now whether somebody has to disclose this without you being asked.
But so that is the case, though, in Michigan, because we do have, you know, so many of these historical houses right around us that if you were to be buying and you wanted to ask up front, hey, any ghosts in this house? Have you had any crimes happen here? You really do have to tell the person up front. Yes, that's
right. Exactly. And this is a bigger issue than we think. If we think about suicides that might happen in the house or other types of violent crimes, a study from Wright University that was done a few years ago mentioned that about the homes that have been known to be stigmatized, as this is called, stay on the market about 45% longer than homes that haven't been stigmatized.
Yeah.
So even though we normally think about material defects in the house having to do with the foundation or the leaky roof, you know, a lot of people tend to think if there's something bad that happened in this house, maybe this won't be comfortable for me to live here too.
Right. In fact, and I guess that goes to answer then when I asked earlier, you know, hey, who cares, you know, if something like this happened, that we had our, you know, one of our camera operators scream out, Jenny screamed out, well, I do care, because it's true. Some people think, you know, I don't want to live in a house where there's been some bad karma.
Exactly. We normally think about physical baggage. You don't want to put in a new furnace, but really this is psychological or emotional baggage.
Right. How big of a deal is this? I mean, is this what, a law in what, one or two states?
No, this common law really started it. You know, historically it was buyer beware, as we've all heard. But this has changed over time, and there's been enough of these type of situations, again, with suicides, you know,
right,
more than the haunting, that have made over 20 states regulate this.
Wow.
Through their legislature.
Okay, then. All right, Chris Trudeau with WMU Cooley Law School. Thank you so much.
Okay. So what do we know about the targeted individual program thus far? When you're targeted by the NSA, CIA, FBI, the goal is to get you to commit suicide if you don't do what they tell you to do. Go kill other people and stuff like that. Most people will not go and harm another human being. So I'll say, okay, well then kill yourself. Most people will opt out to kill themselves. Suicide rate skyrocketed over the past 50 years. Skyrocketed. Okay, because you know they believe there's too many of us here. So why is the government concerned about buyer beware of haunted houses? Now let's state for the record here, this is the only law in the country that addresses the supernatural. It's not scientific. That's not very scientific at all. That's not very realistic. For a government to be regulating something that's supernatural? Well, here we go. Just like my astute colleague here mentioned, yeah, if the government wants a house, they will make hauntings happen. The secret agencies there will make hauntings happen. If an agent wants to move in, not just move in, but take a house at a fraction of the price, oh yeah,
it's a good excuse, though, because then somebody sells, this person buys, and then you become friendly with your neighbor usually. Or maybe you didn't get along with that neighbor. Suddenly you got another chance in life to have a neighbor that's cool next door where you'll look out for each other. So you'll accept this agent into your life. won't you? If they evict somebody through these making of a haunting, I can see that as a possibility. The tech exists. Because, you know, I do know houses make noises when they're made of old wooden ones, especially when they heat and contract. You know, the expansion and contraction that happens between night and day when the heat's in the house. You know, that's explainable, but you could also make that noise happen, disturbing people and cabinets opening and stuff is very possible. Even through pressure changes inside a cabinet, I could beam it heated up and make doors open. You know, this is tech, is just, it's there. If I want to target somebody, they've got all sorts of tools in their bag. You know, their golf bag is like one of those ones you've seen on Caddyshack, got the beer and everything, TV, they got it all, don't yeah. they?
And so the CIA has done this repeatedly, especially for psychological operations. They have studied the effects of this. And target individuals have complained about this. Oh, well, I moved to get away from this. And then all of a sudden, I've got a neighbor that moved in next door who is screwing with me now. Everywhere I move to, there's somebody in my neighborhood that's screwing with me. Target individuals complain about this nonstop. It's not paranoia, people. It's not. Okay? So, yeah. Just to position themselves into somewhere where they want to watch, I don't know, drug dealers or something like that. They will make someone flip out, move out of their home, and then guess what? They get to move into a prime stakeout position.
Yeah, or perform an assassination or whatever like that.
Yes.
You know, where could this be used? It's very, very beautiful tech in scary, scary hands, isn't it?
It can be used for all sorts of things. But the point here is it's Scooby-Doo. NSA Scooby-Doo tricks, okay? And the manipulation, the mind control, it's all there. So I want people to have a scientific mind. When you are approached with something paranormal, we'll use that word, because even science like this is still considered paranormal because it's beside the normal. Okay, this isn't normal technology. All right, so when you hear or see something paranormal, you gotta don't be emotional, first off. And if you are religious, spiritual, whatnot, again, be objective. Look at the situation. Don't be led by your emotions or fears. Because, I ended up staying in that apartment to finish your question there earlier. Yeah, once I figured out, oh, this is the NSA doing this to me, I stayed in that apartment. I stayed for another 6 months, I do believe. The only reason why I moved out was because the promiscuous ex came back, lived with me for some time, decided to go out and be promiscuous again. So I said, screw this. I'm moving up north with a friend. And I'm going to do my research there. I went up to Michigan to do research because Michigan is the only state in the union that has laws against this sort of stuff on the books.
As if that ever stops.
No, it didn't stop anything.
Because they go like, why don't you just prove it? Isn't that what Malfoy's father said to Harry one time when he was accused of doing something? Prove it. Plausible deniability, isn't it? Maybe we could get into the Duke has a parapsychology department, an actual, that's what they study, is this type of phenomena as well. So there is scientific stuff if you want to go there by supposed peers, these people that got a piece of paper to say that they're supposed to know more, that their information carries more validity than ours, right? You know, so, but there is a big department of that. That's at Duke University in North Carolina, Ghostbusters type stuff. I've met a few ghost people that they like to go out to these energy spots. And I have brought up this tech to them. I met one that had an actual pretty famous photo. She was in Deer Run, just outside of Flint. And she had taken a picture that ended up in all the, like, the tabloid ones of a ghost that appeared in a window of a house. And I didn't have time to actually go out to this spot because I was invited to. But I did explain how some stuff, like you talked about, can go on. But I didn't see any reason this person would be targeted. You know, they weren't like a truther. They weren't doing anything like that. They were just joke person trying to survive, you know. But I do believe in ghosts myself, but I don't believe that every situation that we're seeing something is supernatural.
There are, and this is how I describe it as what's going on. When it's not the government doing these Scooby-Doo tricks, and there are things like seeing, you know, a ghost walk across one side of the room to the other. There are, this is my theory, we have timelines parallel running to each other of infinite possibilities. Sometimes these parallel dimensions, sometimes they get kind of close and the feed gets a little fuzzy. And you'll see some things. For example, there is a train in Tokyo that crashed and burned, like, I don't know, years and years ago. But every once in a while, that same train can be seen going up and down the tracks, even recorded, even though there's no train there. So in another timeline, that train never crashed. That's my physics theory on that. The interesting theory.
Well, in some theories, all time exists at once. You know, right. What we call time is a man-made construct to enslave us to do things at certain times, you know, at intervals, if you will. But that I think some events can cause such a strong impression in time that they reverberate and that we will pick up bits of that slice of bread of time, so to speak, pops up, and we perceive it when it's something that strong can happen. I wonder in the future what will of 9/11s and things like this events, when a lot of people are supposedly die all at once, that energy of them releasing and going off to their next existence can actually etch that moment in time that we see.
Oh, hey, that's the end of the show. It's the end of this show. Well, listen, NSA, I'm going to tell you, I'm coming for you. Tear you down, brick by brick.
Big love, people. Happy Halloween.
Remember, in the land of surveillance, man with third eye is king, so educate yourselves.
Pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out the kosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.